it's wrong to try to design and change the planet, and we should start changing ourselves, basically, and being a cyborg is the beginning of this.
Welcome to the Next M Podcast. Tech at heart, ignition in mind.
Hello and welcome to the Next M Podcast. My name is Lars Peters and I'm here with Neil Harbison. He is a cyborg and co-founder of the Cyborg Foundation. Neil, I see you and I get an idea what makes you a cyborg. Explain to our listeners, why are you a cyborg?
Well, the word cyborg means cybernetic organism. So I identify as being a cybernetic organism, which basically means that I feel that I'm not using or wearing technology. I feel that I am technology. And I include technology as part of my identity and also as part of my body.
And that's why you are sitting here and you're having basically an antenna implanted or planted into your brain or into your skull.
Well, yeah, I have an antenna that it's implanted in my head that allows me to extend my perception of color beyond the visual spectrum. So the antenna allows me to receive the vibrations of infrared up until ultraviolet. So I receive the vibrations of color directly into my skull, and then these vibrations become inner sound. So I can hear the sound of infrared, the sound of red, the sound of blue, the sound of ultraviolet. And this organ allows me to extend my biological limitations of color perception.
Exactly. Let's maybe start with that point of view. You are more or less colorblind, so you would see just black and white and some gray colors, right? And not much more.
Yeah, but we are all colorblind if we include infrared and ultraviolet perception, because these colors are also in our planet, but humans cannot sense them. So when I created the antenna, my first aim was to sense the visual spectrum, but afterwards, I also added infrareds and ultraviolets, which are colors that are invisible to the human eye.
Exactly. We can't see them and we can't hear them, but you can sense them now. So tell me, how does it work? So you have this antenna and the antenna has a camera on the top of it? And
no, it's a color sensor. So the antenna picks up just the vibration of the color. It's not like picking up shape or anything else. So it's not a camera, but a color sensor. Okay. Each color has a vibration. Mm-hmm. So it sends the vibration of the dominant color in front of me directly into my head. And then the chip inside the head vibrates depending on this vibration. So red, for example, is a light vibration that travels at 420 millions of waves per second. Mm-hmm. That's how you distinguish a red from a blue. And this vibration, if you could hear it, you would hear a note between F and F sharp. So that's the note that I actually hear in my head. And then the advantage of this system is that you can go beyond the visual spectrum.
Okay. So basically, when you're sensing colors, you are hearing sounds or melodies, more or less. What right now we have to mention that we are sitting in a car, and it's, for me, it's basically black. So what do we hear from the environment right now?
Yeah, there isn't much color, so there aren't many vibrations entering the antenna. Yeah. But yeah, I feel color. I feel the vibrations of color, and then I also hear them. So it's not that I'm actually just hearing the color, because this antenna doesn't go to my ears. It goes into my skull, so that I feel the vibrations of color. And then when you have a vibration in the bone, it becomes audible. So there's also internet connection in the system, which allows me to also connect to other sensors, or people can send colors to my head. Mm-hmm. Or I can also use the internet to connect to NASA's International Space Station and then send colors from space. And when I do this, I sense lots of ultraviolets, for example, that I never sense here.
Okay, but before we come to that point, I just want to understand one more thing. You had to learn the senses that you get via the antenna, right? I mean, to see the difference or to feel the difference between red and orange and blue and violet, for instance. How did you learn it, or how long did it take you to learn that, the differences that you got sensitive for that?
Well, from the very beginning, I was able to distinguish a red from a blue because they feel very different. Mm-hmm. Or infrared from ultraviolet is very different. But when you want to be very specific, like the 30 different shades of red or 90 different shades of blue, then it takes longer time to memorize the vibration of each color and name them. Many colors have no names, like many infrareds have no names or ultraviolets have no
names. Why should they? Because we can't see them, so we won't probably put a name on it or label
it. Yeah, so I've had to name many colors, and also try to associate the names that people give to the visual spectrum to the vibrations that I felt. So yeah, it's a slow process because this is an artificial sense. It's not artificial intelligence. If it was artificial intelligence, I would know the colors from day one, all of them, because the technology would be giving me the information or the knowledge. But I didn't want technology to give me any intelligence. I didn't want technology to tell me the colors around me. I wanted technology to open up my senses. And then when you merge with an artificial sense, it's a slow process because your brain needs to create the intelligence. The intelligence is not given to you by the machine.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you are connected to the internet more or less all the time via the chip in your head. And so you are connected to NASA or to the moon right now? Not right now.
I'm connected to the internet, but then I can use the internet connection to receive colors from the International Space Station. What can happen now is that I can receive colors from friends. There's 5 people that have permission to send colors to my head at any given moment of the day or night.
Why would they do that? Or when would they do that?
Well, at the beginning, they did it more often. Now they don't do it so often. But it was a way of sharing a sense directly into someone's head. Mm-hmm. So they could use their mobile phone. And if there was a beautiful sunset in Melbourne, then my friend from Australia would stream live images from the sunset to my head. So I could suddenly be sensing the colors of an Australian sunset. Or if my friend from New York was in a supermarket and was seeing different unusual colors, then he could directly stream these colors to my head. So it's a way of sharing senses with friends, and it's, I think, the future of the internet, how the internet will slowly become a new sense or a sensory extension instead of just a tool or a communication system.
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, the supermarket, how do I have to see that? Because a supermarket usually is really colorful, but you mentioned before that you see the dominant color, right? So you're not getting completely confused when you're walking through a supermarket, or how does it feel for you when you're seeing like all the different colors and shapes on the shelves?
Well, I've been hearing colors for 15 years, so it's not confusing to hear colors or to hear lots of colors. It's like you, when you see lots of colors, your brain just is used to it. And it's the same with vibrations of color. In the supermarket, there's lots of different vibrations because the dominant color keeps changing all the time because there's so many different colors. Mm-hmm. That it's like a nightclub. There's so many different melodies and sounds like electronic music, crazy electronic music.
But you don't mind. How loud is it? Is it like
loudness depends on saturation. So color has 3 properties. One is the hue, if it's red, blue, orange. Mm-hmm. The other property is saturation, if it's vivid color or dull. That's, I sense it through volume. And the third property is light. So if it's dark or light, that I can see through my eyes.
Okay, that's the kind of impressive. And one last practical question, just to understand it a little bit better. Because when I'm closing my eyes, of course, I can't see anything. You could still sense something. Can you turn the antenna off so that you can sleep at night, for instance, so that any of your friends sense you some experiences that he or she has?
Well, when we sleep, we don't switch off our senses. Our sense of hearing is on. Our sense of smell is on. Our sense of taste is on. Our sense of touch is on. So all of our senses are on. We can block them. You can close your eyes. I could block my ears or block my antenna. I could add an eyelid in my antenna so it can close, but I didn't find it necessary. I can sleep perfectly well with sound or with background music, and I can sleep perfectly well with colors.
Okay, so you don't mind doing that, so that's no problem.
No, well, sometimes my friends might send lots of intensive colors while I'm sleeping, and this might wake me up, or they can color my dreams. So if they start sending yellow when I'm sleeping, yellow might suddenly appear in my dream, or a lemon might appear, or a banana might appear in my dream. So my friends can actually alter my dreams or color my dreams if they send them when I'm sleeping.
That's an interesting experience, probably, like for someone who's not used to that. Still, you want other people also to connect to the cyborg world, and also not only to use technology, but to become technology. Why do you want to encourage other people to do so? What is the benefit?
Well, first, I want to encourage them to think about it. And then the aim of the Cyber Foundation is to make it as accessible as possible to everyone so that we all have the option of deciding which senses and organs we want to have as a species. And the reason why I think it's necessary is because we are a species that have been changing and designing the planet for many, many years. And I think this is wrong. We shouldn't be changing the planet in order to live better. We should be changing ourselves in order to live better. if we all had night vision, for example, all the lights would be off, so we wouldn't spend energy creating artificial light if we all had night vision. Or if we could control our own temperature, we wouldn't use heaters when it's cold or air conditioning when it's hot. We would be able to control our own temperature instead of having to change the temperature of the planet. So I think it's wrong to try to design and change the planet, and we should start changing ourselves, basically, and being a cyborg is the beginning of this.
And would we really save energy by doing that? So do you think the human body is capable to do that? That we, like, even if it was possible for us to change our body heat, for instance, in order that we won't need to heat a whole house in winter time or so, how much energy would that need for a human to process that or to make that happen?
Our body is creating so much energy that is going nowhere. If you could see the amount of energy that we are creating, your head now is creating a lot of heat. Your heart is creating energy. You are creating a lot of energy that goes nowhere, and this could be used to actually have new organs, new senses, and also modify your temperature if you wanted.
Some of your friends today already have sense in their legs so that they can sense earthquakes. Other ones can sense the weather. Well, with the weather, I could say, like, okay, I can check the weather either by looking at it. What is it outside and how cold or how warm is it? What is the use there? What is the purpose or the idea behind sensing the weather?
Well, it's very different to know what weather it is, or to know that there's earthquakes, or to know that there's climate change. It's very different to know than to feel. If you feel climate change, it's very different. If we could all feel how climate is changing, we would be taking further actions. Where we are not feeling the earth in many ways. We are senseless to the changes that are happening. We are not sensing most of the things that are happening around us. When you have new organs, specifically the ones that connect you to nature, it allows you to understand Earth in a deeper level. Sensing earthquakes is entirely different than just watching your phone how there's been an earthquake somewhere.
Definitely,
or
yeah.
Sensing that there's a hurricane, or that there's the ice is melting, to feel this in a new organ is entirely different than just looking at the news.
So if you want to convince people to become cyborgs, or just to get one technological body part for a newbie, what would be like the first body part that you would recommend, like the very first start? What would be the easiest?
My aim is not that I don't want people to become technology, to become cyborgs. My aim is that people should connect to nature and have new senses that connects them to nature. But now we are using technology, but if we can do it in other ways, then I also encourage them to do it in other ways. But the aim of myself and of the other cyborgs is not technology. Our aim is nature. Our aim is to reveal reality, to use technology and to merge with technology in order to reveal elements, natural elements and nature that already exists around us, but that our bodies cannot sense. And we want this in order to reconnect with the planet and with nature, and also to reconnect with other species. Because when you have an organ or a sense that is very similar to an organ or a sense that other species have, you actually feel more connected to other animals and to other species in a much deeper level. In my case, I feel more connected to insects that have antennas, or to dolphins that can hear through bone conduction like myself, or like hippopotamus, they can also hear through their ears and hear through their bones. I feel connected to animals that sense ultraviolet and infrared. If I see a bee going to a flower and I sense there's a high level of ultraviolet, I connect with the bee in a deeper level because I understand why the bee is going there. Or if I see a cat staring at the wall and there's infrared bouncing on the wall, I know that the cat is not looking at the wall, but looking at the infrared. So I connect with other animals in a deeper level, and I think this is necessary. We should reconnect with other species and reconnect with nature, and becoming a cyborg is one way of doing it.
So it's not become just doing it for the technology purpose or point of view, but really to being a better human in a way.
Technology
or to be
is just
a better part of the world.
The medium. It's not the aim. Yeah.
So last question for you, because you have also a tooth that you can use as a torchlight. What is the next thing you think to improve, or think about to improve your body in a way to sense even more things that are happening outside? So do you have already something that you are thinking about? What would be the next?
I have an implant in my knee to sense the magnetic north. Moon Rivas and Manel also have it. So we had this implanted 2 years ago to sense the magnetic north. This is something that many animals can sense, like sharks or pigeons can sense the magnetic north. And the next one is an inner crown that will be around my head, and it will be a point of heat that will take 24 hours to do the complete circle. So I will feel the rotation of the planet around my head. We don't feel the rotation of the planet.
Not at all.
So this will allow me to feel the rotation, and consequently, it will be an organ for the sense of time. We all have a sense of time, but we don't have an organ for the sense of time. So if I feel the point of heat in the middle of my forehead, it means that the sun is shining at 12 o'clock solar time in London. If I feel it on my eyebrow here, this is Iceland, this is then my ear, right ear is Michigan in the USA. So I will know and feel where the sun is shining.
Right.
And this will allow me to feel time, basically. And if my brain gets used to it, in the future, I might be able to create time illusions. So if I want the situation to last longer, I can change the speed in which the point of heat goes around my head so that I might feel that time is stretching or going slower. So the aim in this case is also to bring into practice Albert Einstein's theory of time relativity and see if we can modify our perception of time if we have an organ for time.
I'm speechless because that sounds really impressive. So I'm looking forward to you, maybe to the next talk when you have that implanted and how you are working with it and how it changed your perception of time.
Thank
you very much, Neil Harbison, cyborg and co-founder of the Cyborg Foundation.